Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday evening, December 14th, a little after almost 9:30 p.m. Thanks a lot, Puppet. Almost 9:30 p.m. And this is our Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. The puppet's below me, David Griggs.
I am. I'm below you. I should be above you.
To his side is John Slica. To my side up here, David Dorman.
Why am I not up there with you?
Why don't you just tell me what the heck under the radar means? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, it's essentially, in layman's terms, the 22 regular one-bid leagues. We always feel important to say that there's no rule that says those are one-bid leagues, but they're typically not the multi-bid leagues. So that's not the Power 5, the Big 12, Big 10, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, ACC, and SEC, nor is it the five other regular multi-bid leagues, the Big East, the A-10, although not this year, the Mountain West, the West Coast, and the American. It's the other 22.
Okay, so it's everybody that's not in one of those leagues you just mentioned.
Yeah. Okay. There is another
independent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Plus our independent Chicago State and Hartford.
Okay.
I think, is Chad frozen?
No.
Okay.
Well, I was waiting. You were going out with another disqualifier. You ended up
talking. Oh, okay.
The audience is riveted, trying to find out what the disqualifier is.
Oh, okay. Well, the disqualifier is if you're ranked in the top 25.
Okay. Well, thank you. People need to know these things.
Yeah. All right.
This show has started awful so far.
This is the worst beginning ever. We should start over. We won't, but we should.
For that reason, let's just keep going. Anyhow. Yeah. What we do is we go through these 22 conferences in alphabetical order, other than our feature conference of the night. So I have selected a feature conference that I think the last several weeks I've said this conference should have been our feature conference, but I found one reason or another not to do it. I think this week we finally have to do it because the conference is off to a great start and includes the one team that may not be under the radar much longer. Of course, I'm talking about the Colonial and the College of Charleston Cougars up there at the top of it. With a win over Stetson tonight by 5 points. But Dorman, let me start with you on this College of Charleston team, because this team has been very impressive so far, even tonight, because it's not that bad of a Stetson team.
No, they handled Stetson. But this College of Charleston team, if I had a ballot.
I just said pull them up. Go ahead, keep going,
Dave. Oh, I thought you said hold on.
Sorry, I thought you said hold on. No problem. Except
pull them up. God, we stink. Watch another show. Everybody just turn off the show and watch something else.
Charleston's off to a great start. I would have had him in my ballot in the low 20s literally 3 weeks ago. A fantastic start. That Virginia Tech win is going to look better and better as this season goes on, as I think they're one of the most underrated teams in the country. But this is about Charleston, and they are off to a fantastic start. Kent State, one of the best under-the-radar teams also in the country, knocked off Richmond and Colorado State. The one thing I will say is I don't want to say that this is their conference, because I'm really a believer in this Towson team. I think Towson is in for a fantastic season. I would love for them both to get in. I don't think they will, but this is going to be a fantastic battle all year long.
Yeah, I really like this Towson team, and I think this game New Year's Eve is hugely important for College of Charleston's tournament chances, because while they have the notable wins, at least against notable opponents, the one thing that you have to realize is that those were home games. Yeah, it was in a multi-team event, but it was on their home floor. They did the management. It goes into every metric. The committee is going to treat those like home wins. You need wins away from home if you want to get inside the bubble. And Towson, Wilmington, I'm sorry, another good team this year. So both of those road games are kind of crucial, wouldn't you say, for College of Charleston in terms of possibly landing inside the bubble?
Enormous. I couldn't agree more. They got to get those, both of them.
Yeah. Chad, did the screen share break?
Yeah, we lost the screen share for a second, but Grace, you just keep filling, because we're just doing awful tonight. But
yeah,
we'll get that back here.
Yeah,
there it is.
This is the third or fourth time we've started the show. If you think this is bad, you should have seen the other three, why we're getting started late tonight. But I like Towson. And Wilmington, another team that, we haven't talked about them as much as we've talked about Towson and Charleston. And Hofstra was a team that we liked coming into the season, too. So four really good teams at the top of this league. But, yeah, if you pull up Wilmington here, not the most impressive as far as what's in quad quads one and two. North Texas, a fairly decent win on a neutral floor, but you kind of got to – their metrics are pretty good. RPI 18, why is this team so good?
Yeah, I got to tell you that the metrics are good. The strength of schedule is good, but they lost their three big chances here at UConn, at North Carolina, Oklahoma. They were competitive
and sort of in there with North Carolina.
But I just don't see the schedule ahead for Wilmington to do much more, to have any shot to get an outside of an automatic bid, short of, you know, literally running the table. And even then, there's such bad RPIs. Bad nets. Wow, I just went way back in time there. Bad nets of this conference that who knows. That you know, outside of the big other three teams, the Towson, the Hofstra, and the College of Charleston. We have joining us Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org a little bit late, Rocco.
Rocco, you've missed a great show so far. You won't believe how well the show's going.
We've been absolutely awful. We need you here to save us, Rocco.
Yeah.
Let's do a reboot in that case. I just got back from a holiday party. Glad that you're still going.
All right.
We're talking the Colonial, Rocco. So let me give you your 3 seconds here to talk anything you want to talk on the Colonial as you jump in here.
Yeah, I think UNCW is a team that plays really cohesive. They play a lot like – they remind me of Cleveland State when Dennis Gates was there the last few years, just in terms of nobody cares about who gets the credit. They do internal competitions to figure out, you know, who's going to get the most loose balls, who's going to create the most turnovers, who's going to get the most assists, just all these team-oriented objectives. It's been really awesome to see the kind of results that they're delivering, not only winning some really good games in their MTE by beating North Texas in the championship, but also some of the teams that they should beat, they're actually blowing them out this year. Last year, they were nipping everything out and getting, like, you know, one of the luckiest teams along with Providence in the country attached to them. But I think a lot of that stuff's not really luck. It's a lot of great team building that goes into this program. And Takeo Siddle's probably looking at an upgrade in his job if this continues to go this way. So shout out to them. Charleston's obviously unbelievable with that Virginia Tech win. But I think at the end of the day, Towson still might be the team to beat when we get to the end of league play.
Agreed.
And Stalika, let me bring you in as well. I've got the upcoming schedule in this conference on the screen as we are kind of finishing up non-conference play here. Charleston's last game is Monday night at Coastal Carolina. Anything else you're circling here in this last week or so of non-conference play?
Towson is actually on a brief two-game losing streak right here. A game against Northern Iowa should get them off the schneid right here.
Yeah, and that is at some event or another. I'm not certain exactly where that game's going to be played. There's a lot of events coming up on Saturday, a lot of neutral court events. I think that Towson-Northern Iowa game is...
Chicago.
Is in Chicago. Okay, thank you.
United Center.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back. Now that we finished with the Colonial after, and we've really been lousy so far, let's go through the rest of the conference's alphabetical order to hope we get a little bit better.
Yeah.
Slick, let me start with you over in the America East, because right there on your screen, you're talking about Lowell and where they stand in relation to both Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Well, their first notable game was when they took on the so-called flagship of the UMass system when they went over to Amherst. They actually led, I think, the entire way with the exception of one tie. Amherst, UMass actually did make a bit of a late run and did manage to get, I think, within 1 point until Lowell finally managed to pull away in that one. That being said, they missed a chance to go 2-0 against the Atlantic 10, even though they led Rhode Island for most of that game. But the Rams actually came back and Lowell was not able to pull off that particular double right there.
I'll tell you what, this Lowell team has impressed me. And Dorman, you got to look at the schedule, the way the schedule was. They went to UMass Thursday. They beat SFBK on Saturday. Then had the Rhode Island game on Tuesday. That's 3 games in 6 days. And they kind of ran out of gas at the end of the Rhode Island game.
Yeah, absolutely right. Exactly. You stole my thunder there, Chad. But I love the scheduling. I love the competition. Play up. Get ready. Make sure your team is ready for conference play and prepared for the tournament. I like what they have shown on the court. I agree. They just ran out of gas in the last game, but I love, like I said, the scheduling, and I see what they're doing, but I do also believe Bryant's going to be heard from before this is all said and done. I really like this Bryant team.
Yeah, is this a two horse race? I mean, as long as it's more than a one horse race.
No, I don't think it's a two horse race, Rocco. I think it's a three horse race. I think Vermont is not done by any means at all.
Vermont's not done. John Becker's the best coach in this league. No disrespect to Grasso or Duquette, but I think you're already starting to see signs. They just beat Colgate on the road on Saturday. It's kind of like, here comes Vermont. They were sleeping in November. But also breaking in some new pieces. Becker is a March man, and he's going to get this team ready by the time we get to March. However, I will say UMass Lowell deserves all the credit. They're the best team right now. They're the highest ranked team in the metrics, and they've earned that. And if not for a really tough call, who knows? Maybe we go to double overtime last night, but unfortunately it didn't work out for the Riverhawks. But yeah, I think it's great because I think most of the year we've been looking at this as a two-dog league. Now it's a three-dog league pretty clearly.
And it's a game. Fun one because campus sides conference tournament.
Interesting game coming up. Another one of these neutral court games on Saturday at some location or another, maybe in Chicago as well. Who knows? Bryant and Liberty, though, on Saturday, matching up. It's somewhere. We'll know by the time we get to
the That's going to be played at the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay. Hall of Fame, Springfield, Massachusetts for that one. So a little closer to Bryant, but not exactly in the backyard. Griggs, over in the A-Sun Conference. I know they're in red there because they're ineligible. They're their first-year transitional team, but Queens went to East Tennessee State tonight and won that game. I'm just so impressed by this Queens team.
I am, so and what a fun story. Hopefully we do see them, and it won't be the NIT or the NCAA, but in a postseason tournament. They remind me of that NJIT team and some of the Lopes teams that we really liked when they were transitioning. They're as good as anybody in the league.
Well, they will have a shot to win the A-Sun Conference Tournament, much like Bellarmine did last year. So,
yeah, the A-Sun might have the distinct honor of having back-to-back years where the tournament champion didn't go to the NCAA. I don't think that happens too often. But, yeah, I love what they've done. They had a win against Marshall. That's looking like a good win. We would be talking about them as probably the story of the league if they were eligible for the postseason.
Among those postseason eligible teams, Dorman, I don't really know. I mean, I guess it's Gulf Coast and Liberty have done the most so far.
I agree with you. If I had to pick one right now, it's Florida Gulf Coast. One of those losses I know was to Tennessee. So they've had a good season so far. I think I like the way they play basketball. They do a lot of good things. Well, this conference could get turned upside down. So many teams from the middle could break out and show us something. Liberty definitely has the opportunity, talent. Lipscomb, I think, might be heard from. And Stetson's not terrible. Some of those losses are against some big top-ranked teams. So I think this conference is well open, but I agree with the guys. Queens is the story so far.
Yeah, and here's the upcoming schedule, and Salika's already circling the big Monday night game of Davis and Elkins at North Florida, or maybe it's the Queens and Nebraska game, one of the two.
Davis and Elkins going to the Ospreys.
I'm trying to get Queens and Nebraska in there. I've got a quick finger on my laptop, but that's perfect with our brand for tonight.
let's keep things rolling here to over to the Big Sky Conference. And Rocco, I know this is one of your favorite leagues, although maybe not so much this year, but I guess we finally have one team that with a winning record against D1 competition. So congrats to Northern Colorado.
There you go. That's mainly because they lost to a non D1 team, though. So they are 5-5. Yeah,
true. but how about the 6-2 win? All the games are complete in the Big Sky Summit League Challenge Series this year. So there's something for the Big Sky.
There is something for the Big Sky. Portland State swept the Beavers. I get that the Beavers are bottom of the Pac-12, but that's a really big deal for them. And I think Eastern Washington took Texas Tech to the wire last night. That's a really good sign for them. Montana's had some nice turnaround games at home. I think they blew the doors off of South Dakota State.
They did.
And that's impressive. And I still think the Montana State Bobcats, who have 2 to 3 NBA players, are going to be the team to beat. They've just had some wild travel, some scheduling, toughness. Their MTE was really tough up in Canada. I think when it's all said and done, the Bobcats are the team to beat. If you want a deep sleeper, I know you always do, Chad. I would say keep your eye on the Idaho Vandals. They've won three of their last four. They've got a couple of guys. They're buried in the rankings because they started off at the bottom. It's going to take them forever to get any kind of decent like KenPom ranking. But they just took Riverside to the Horn, lost by 2 points. They won at Pacific. I mean, for Idaho's level, they're playing really consistently good basketball. They've got a couple JUCO kids from my backyard in the Tacoma, Seattle area that are their two best players. And I'm kind of excited to see where this goes.
And how did they do in their big rivalry game?
They didn't play it this year.
Oh, I'm so hurt. For that reason alone, I don't like Idaho.
Well, Idaho State at Washington, that's kind of like the reverse, right? That's going up on Saturday. The big game of the upcoming schedule here, of course, is only one thing to be circling. It's Sunday. It's Northern Colorado at Colorado. And then followed up by Tuesday, Air Force at Northern Colorado. Huge week in the Front Range Conference.
In the Front Range, yes.
We're going to be getting to it at the end of the show.
Although, keep the schedule up here for a moment. Is there a provisional membership for Northwest Indian College here? Because they've got games at Idaho, Montana State, and Eastern Washington.
Could they be moving up to the Big Sky next season? Keep tuned. I don't think so, but Salika, let me stick with you over the Big South Conference here, where High Point has been leading the way so far. You know, Longwood was the preseason pick, but what do you like so far? What have you seen this past week?
Well, High Point happened to be one of the victims of a Queen surprise start here to a Division I play. They ended up losing by 8 at home right here. I mean, we're still waiting for Longwood to really break out of their shell right here. They did get a decent road win in St. Francis, Brooklyn last night.
Yeah, they did. And that's a good sign for this Longwood team. They were the preseason pick. I still think they may end up being the best team in the conference. They may end up repeating.
I do like what High Point has done. I'm impressed with the 8-2. I know it's a little bit of a pastry cart, but I kind of starting to like them, High Point.
They won at Furman. That was a huge win
for them. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And that's the one that kind of made me sit up and be like, ooh, that's good.
There's a game here to circle Sunday at High Point at UNC Wilmington. We were just talking about that Wilmington team over the we were doing the closing at the start of the show. High Point going there. Should be a real good game, actually.
I think so, yeah.
Potential under-the-radar game of the day, Salika?
We shall see on Sunday.
We'll see on Sunday. keep us in suspense here.
In suspense,
here.
Yeah. It's a potential. Every game is a potential under-the-radar.
I'm sorry, that game's been disqualified.
Yeah, apparently it has been. Well, okay, let's where are we? Who am I up to even? I have no idea what we're doing.
I think it's the Big West.
Dorman, Big West Conference. Let me go over to you, Dorman. Let me go over to you with the Big West here. UC Santa Barbara win at Pepperdine this past week, and then non-D1 win. You know, are they starting to take control, or is it still this Irvine team?
I like the Gauchos. The Gauchos are off to a great start. The only loss, I believe, are to the Duquesne Dukes. They're playing good basketball. Irvine, Santa Barbara and Irvine, I think, are going to battle all year long for the top spot in this conference.
Yeah, and it's kind of what the conference has been like the past 10 years or so, I think, is Santa Barbara, Irvine. Every now and then somebody else sticks their heads up or steals
a UC Davis had that little run, a few years ago.
Well, they just stole a conference tournament.
Beach was really good for a while. I'm disappointed in Beach.
We are going to start finding out a lot more about this Hawaii team, maybe, actually, with the Diamond Head coming up there that they're hosting as well. But actually, there's some pretty interesting games coming up this next week here as we conclude the non-conference play. Griggs, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to like Diamond Head fever is in the air. People are decorating. You see lights all over town, trees being put up, people getting ready for their big Diamond Head parties.
Yeah. See if Long Beach can stay in the game tonight in Southern Cal.
Three games coming up tonight. Nevada hosting UC San Diego, Oregon hosting UC Riverside. Yeah. Ducks could be in trouble. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Riverside's winning right now, 28-26.
There we go.
Wow.
There we go.
It's time to read Charles Dickens' A Diamond Head Story, or Carol.
Rocco, Conference USA. Now, we've been watching Middle Tennessee at the top of the screen here simply by the fact that they have that early game against Rice for some weird reason. But there are several teams here that are really turning my head. Let's start with Florida Atlantic, though. This team just keeps winning games.
Yeah, I mean, it's an electric offense where, you know, they're shooting 41.5% as a team from deep, third best team in the country shooting behind the arc. But I think one of the things that gets overlooked about the Owls is the fact that, two things. That one, their defense is actually top 70, and that's how you win games. And number two is they're really good at ball protection. They're a top 35 team at protecting the ball. Top 50 team at not forcing on unnecessary errors, what I call unforced errors, like tennis. And you're looking at a team in the last couple of weeks that have been playing without Elijah Martin, who is arguably their best shooter. And he's a top 75 national three-point percentage guy at 48%. So it's an Owls team built to last. Obviously, the loss to Ole Miss is a little bit of an asterisk because Michael Forrest wasn't available. So if they're in the bubble chase down the stretch, which they very much could be, I think the Forrest thing needs to be mentioned about that Ole Miss loss. But otherwise, they've got, you know, FIU and Northern Kentucky is all that stands between them and Conference USA play. They're both
FIU's at your conference game.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. So
just
Northern Kentucky's left. They're going to win that game. So it's all about how they perform in the league. And I don't want to overlook that because I think most people are just going to look at the North Texas game or the UAB game, and that's fine. Those are going to be fun. West Kentucky is going to be fun. But it's the trips to UTEP. It's the trips to Charlotte. It's the Louisiana Tech trip. Those are the stuff in this league with the deep travel that could really throw off their at-large hopes.
Yeah, and you had mentioned at large. That's why I wanted to Chad to pull them up. We've got four teams here that I don't think all four get in, but all four are positioning themselves to basically be in a position to run at the bubble.
I'll tell you the quick reason before you go much further. I got these two profiles up. FAU has that at Florida win. That's not necessarily a term of Florida team, though. UAB has nothing in the top two quads yet, and there's no non-conference chances left for either of these two teams.
There aren't, but that's the thing. With FAU and North Texas and UAB and Western Kentucky and perhaps even FIU, is there enough quality in the conference for not all five, but one or two to get those wins against each other if one or two pull themselves away from the other two or three?
But
there's five really good teams in this league.
You have right now between those four teams, I'll throw Charlotte up here as well as a fifth team. Two wins are at Florida and the Boise State win by Charlotte. So between five teams, you've got two decent wins. And I don't think that either one is.
Okay, bring in the bracketeer on this one. I'm not saying all five get in. I'm saying that if one or two can pull away from the other three, then those three will supply the big wins that you're talking about. Am I right there? Are there quality wins to be had within the league?
I think so. So if you look at, the net is not anywhere near mature yet. But the key in that is, in Conference USA, like we mentioned with FAU, they only have one non-league game left. They're going to get going on league play really quick here. So the data from that standpoint is almost complete. Now it's just going to be how it goes. And the way it stands right now, Charlotte's 76. You play at Charlotte, it's almost a quad one game right now. Middle Tennessee's 85. That's nice. You've got both UAB and North Texas in the 60s. Obviously, FAU is like crazy at number 11. But even in that next tier down, Western Kentucky, 128. You imagine that's going to go up a little bit. La Tech and UTEP in the lower 100s. You really just got to – you can't lose to FIU, UTSA, or Rice. Those have got to be easy wins for all these teams to keep their numbers up throughout conference play.
As we record this, Rocco, Western Kentucky 2 points at Louisville. They could take a major take in their net if they lose that game.
Yeah, that's losing to a potential centenary team. Chad is right. Like, it is a unique case because no one has those big singular out-of-conference wins that you normally think that the under-the-radar teams need. But when that many teams have bloated records like that, does that give them the chance to get the big wins in the league? That was my question. And I think the answer is definitely maybe.
It's a maybe because we still have to see how things shake out. But keep in mind, FAU did win at Florida. If Florida can get things rolling, that's going to look awesome.
Yeah. If Florida gets things rolling, if Boise State gets things rolling, I mean, those wins can help this conference. But
Boise State's playing a lot better, too. So there you go.
Yes, they are.
Here's the upcoming schedule. As we mentioned, West Kentucky at Louisville playing as we record this, the rest of the schedule. And we are really at the end of non-conference play here, even getting to some conference play games, I think, out here in the schedule. I see Louisiana Tech at UTEP, for example, on there.
Just imagine what conference play is going to be like if you have to play Florida Atlantic and a North Texas back-to-back. Florida Atlantic is a team that likes to run up and down the floor, and North Texas is going to be like going to the dentist without Novocaine.
Well, throw it this way. Look at the tempos here. UAB, number 5 in the nation in tempo. Yeah. North Texas, 363. Charlotte, 362, right behind them. The two slowest teams in the nation in the same league.
Love this league.
This has become a fun conference.
I think Andy Kennedy will get this together. I love this UAB team. I love Jelly. I think they're explosive on offense. They're going to run tempo like we just showed there. I think Andy Kennedy will have his team rolling in a few weeks.
They look very good against South Carolina, an SEC team tonight.
I think the final was 14. They were really closer to about 30.
Yeah, they beat Georgia.
It wasn't even a game.
Beat Georgia by 14 as well. So that's two SEC wins by double digits. Yeah.
I wish they had one more chance at a big boy.
Yeah.
There's rest of the upcoming schedule, but let's keep rolling here. And Salika, Horizon League, we're into some conference play, and Milwaukee surprised everybody at 2-0 in conference, 8-4 overall. That may be the only story here.
Milwaukee has been the pleasant surprise here as far as 2-0. Wright State's been the biggest disappointment at 0-2. Youngstown State and Robert Morris are also other teams to keep an eye on, even though they're 500 right here. I mean, this is still going to be, I think, the final really week of non-conference play before we start to get back into conference play, at least once we get past the Christmas break right here.
When was IUPUI's last D1 win? We are entering a Savannah State level drought here. I mean, when it comes to lack of D1 wins, what did they lose? Like 80 in a row one stretch?
I'll tell you that I don't know what's going wrong with this conference the last couple of years. It's been way down off what it normally has been. Probably the biggest thing to look that I'm looking at when I watch this conference right now is Antoine Davis and the way that he's climbing up the all-time scoring leaders chart. He did top 3,000 career points. I don't know how high he's going to get on that chart, but he's going to probably beat the most of the recent guys like Mike Dahlman, maybe even catch Chris Clemens, what he did.
Mike Davis, a hell of a bench coach. He's got this strategy where they give the ball to Antoine Davis and get out of his way.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah.
He will have a bit of a showcase on next Wednesday when they go to Cincinnati to take on the Bearcats.
Yep. Yeah. He'll be the best player on the floor. He won't beat UC by himself.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Dorman over in the Ivy League here.
Good league. Okay.
We've got a slightly better than the Horizon League. We've got this Yale team now sitting at 7-3. Nice a win at Fairfield the other night.
And the loss
to Kentucky. Yeah.
The loss to Kentucky wasn't bad. If you watch the game, they were in that game. Kentucky was clearly worried and scared. I thought Yale played really well in Rupp, and I don't want to say they had a chance to win in the end. They didn't, but they hung in tough. They battled. They were physical on the boards. From what I've seen in this conference, I would pick Yale right now. I really like what they're doing.
Yeah, Princeton with a loss to Iona, but it was a close game. It was a good game. They lost to Iona last night. You got to keep an eye on this Penn team as well, just by to beat Temple, okay. Temple's not that great this year, but beating by 20 was very impressive. That was a score margin of more than anything else in my mind.
I'm with you, Chad. It wasn't so much that they beat Temple, although Temple has had their moments, but it was the way they dominated them. This league has got some, you got Penn, Brown has looked good at times, Yale has looked good, Princeton was a team that we liked before the year. How about Cornell, like, flexing their muscles against Miami? They lost. Is the Ivy League ever been this fun?
And they're going to Syracuse on Saturday, that same Cornell team, so keep an eye on that one.
And normally it's a one or a two horse race, and it's just those two blowing through the field. The Ivy's going to be competitive this year.
Yeah, that Final Four will be really exciting.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
And Cornell could beat Syracuse in the Dome over the weekend. Watch out. I
kind of expected.
They had Miami. They could have beaten Miami.
They could have.
They could have gotten one stop.
Yeah.
I will say,
like, literally at any point in the game, had they gotten one stop.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things.
For sure.
Harvard's got an interesting 48 hours on Sunday and Tuesday where they're going to host Howard and then hop on a bird for about 3,000 miles to take on Irvine 2 days later.
Yeah.
Are they heading out? Are they out in the Diamond Head?
Might be.
Who's this?
Harvard.
Harvard?
No.
No? Okay. Why are they why are they heading out west?
They're going home to study, Chad. They're going home to study.
Okay.
I believe teams come out west every once in a while around the holidays. The thing they have with California schools. I think some of their players are probably from here.
Rocco, Metro Atlantic Conference, this Iona team had a nice week. Neutral court wins over the Bonnies and Princeton. Not great wins, but this is what you got. These are the wins you need to pick up to, and they're doing it.
They're doing it. And they're looking good in most of them. They beat down St. Bonaventure Sunday. That was a quick turnaround for a tough Princeton team. So even though they had to grind, it was a tough spot schedule-wise. And, you know, playing in a D3 gym after playing in an NBA arena is really interesting as well. So now the real story can finally take off. Because
next week is huge for these Gales. Yeah.
Sunday is the big one with Mr. Pitino and his son going toe to toe in Albuquerque. The atmosphere is going to be crazy. Rick Pitino's press conference after Princeton. I don't know if you guys saw the quote, but he said he would rather die than lose. So, I mean, there's more material going into this game and we're still 4 days away. I can't wait. And I think the teams are very even. I got to see New Mexico in person on Monday. You know, they do a lot of things well, but they're not dominant. And I think there's a window for Iona to go down there and get that win. And if they do, watch out. They'll be on the large radar firmly.
But then they turn
that
around.
That might be a little hyper. Yeah.
Yeah. They then turn around and they go to Hawaii. They are the team that's in the Diamond. And I knew we had one coming up.
Yeah. That'll be key.
Yep. Start with SMU, potential Utah State game in the second round, potential true road game against Hawaii for the championship.
I've been joking, but only half, about how all I really want to see in that game is a blow by handshake at the end. We may get it. Saying he'd rather die than lose is probably a little hyperbole. It's not that they don't respect each other. It's that they do, and that fuels it even more. They both want that one. It's not a friendly family game of cards.
And I promise you the Pit will be sold out. It's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crazy game.
Yeah.
as we did all of last year, because no one, by the way, there are 10 other teams in the Metro Atlantic. Nobody cares. They don't matter. We saw that last year.
We saw that last year. It was all Iona.
Iona. That was all that mattered. Nobody else did anything at this conference, St. Peter's. Here's the upcoming schedule.
We've got Quinnipiac's gone to the bakery. I mean, they've really beaten up on that 353 the schedule. Really have. I mean, that is pretty good.
They're starting conference play actually with the St. Peter's on Sunday. So let's just jump right on ahead here to the Mid-American Conference.
Yes.
Okay, Greg, you want to talk about it? Go ahead.
Oh, well, there's one team in particular that I like, and it's basically my thoughts last week. I think Kent State is great. I hate to praise a team for its losses. They went to Houston and had a lead with less than a minute to go. They were right in there with Gonzaga. This is just a really tough team that I realize when you look at their profile, there is a part of it that's a little bit lacking. But this is a really good team, and where do they stand if they blow through the rest of their schedule?
Well, they got a non.
They're going to have a lot of quad four wins. Is what they're gonna have.
They got New Mexico State coming up in the first round. They're actually in the Sun Bowl tournament, so they get a true road game against UTEP if they beat New Mexico State. That should help a little with stuff like strength of schedule. But you know, Dorman, when you look at this team. You want to talk an at-large bid, you really got to be dominant in the MAC. You really got to be dominant.
They really got to be dominant. MAC lost one or two. I don't, unfortunately, see him getting in without the auto bid. I don't see him giving Kent State the nod without any of those signature wins, which is a shame because this team should be playing in March and could win a game or two in March in the tournament. But I hate to say it, but I really feel they're going to need the auto bid.
Yeah, I think Rocco, go ahead.
I think if we're playing the odds, Dorman's definitely right on that. There's probably going to be a slip up two or three in the MAC because it's just a tough league. and these teams know
rivalries.
They know each other.
Yeah,
so
the rivalries
well.
Gonna, in this
there's
league.
There's going to be a night. Yeah. There's going to be a couple bad nights where another coach game plans them well, and they just don't pull it out. But like I think that if somehow they get through the MAC and maybe they only play Toledo once, which I think is kind of nuts. But if they lose that game and they dominate most of the other teams, this will be a really interesting case study for how the committee evaluates a really highly rated metrics team. Much like we've seen with Houston, Gonzaga at much higher levels, even Murray State and Wofford in recent years. Is that enough because they lost close in their heavyweight fights against Houston and Gonzaga? Is that enough to carry the way, even though their best road wins right now are just Cleveland State and Northern Kentucky?
It is an interesting case. I will say that like last year's Murray State team won at Memphis, and who wasn't a tournament team, but still there was something there. And that Wofford team was really, really good. I forget what their profile was, but I think everybody had them in on the first ballot. Like it just wasn't even a question.
Right. And Murray got there. They had the decent wins, couple decent wins, no other data, but they only lost one. So it's like, give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. This team lost three times, but I mean, all three teams are great. And they were all on the
close, very close.
They're all close. Yeah. And they were all on the other team's true home court. So it is really interesting.
The rest of the upcoming schedule for the conference is on the screen here. Interestingly for Toledo, also a team we liked a lot heading into the season. They're at Marshall, then at Vermont this week. So you might want to circle both those games. They go 2-0, and we're going to be talking next week that this is a two-horse race here in this conference.
Yeah,
I think it is. Also good for a team that has a strength of schedule 341 right now. That's going to boost it up a few points.
A few points. Stalica, over in the MEAC. We do not have any teams with winning records against D1 play, but we did have Norfolk State with a road win this week at William & Mary.
William & Mary, and it also gets them to at least within one game of 500 as far as D1 play goes right here. Otherwise, you can look at Howard, who got a D1 win against Florida International at home yesterday.
And how about a shout out to just up the road from me in Lakewood, New Jersey, the Georgian court team with a road win at Delaware State. Delaware State, not a good showing team in contention for our centenary award for the worst team in D1.
Yes.
It's a good thing Villanova didn't play Georgian court.
Yes. The campus would not have accepted that. I still like Norfolk State to possibly run the table with 14 wins in the season and then three more in the conference tournament. I just don't think anybody – I know you all have said Howard's looked good it off and on, and they have, and Coppin State another one. Norfolk is just so much better than everybody else. If anyone's going to get inside the 16 line, it's them.
You'll get a chance to see Norfolk, I believe, on national TV here on Sunday with their
– Really?
This is an HBCU event that they're in Saturday and Sunday. Most Sunday's games are nationally televised. The A&T game is one that I believe is nationally televised on Sunday. The Hampton one, I think, is just being streamed. And then they're at Nevada next Wednesday. There we go.
Overmatched. But once they get into the league, I just like them a lot.
Let's keep things rolling along here. Rocco, over in the Missouri Valley Conference, we were all on Drake for a while now, but I think it's time we really got serious about those Indiana State Sycamores.
Yeah, I think we've been talking about them every week since the beginning of the year. I like what they're doing. Obviously, the Southern Indiana loss looks bad. It was an OT game. Southern Indiana, give them a lot of credit. They're perfect at home. They beat both the Salukis and the Sycamores. It's pretty remarkable because they don't look very good when they play on the road, but they actually get a really good home court advantage. The student section was rocking. I watched the entire second half in overtime of that game, and just hats off to Southern Indiana. They wanted it a little bit more, but I think Indiana State, it's a battle of attrition in the eyes of head coach Josh Schertz, and I think that's how he built his roster. It's a really interesting roster makeup. About 8-9 athletic guys. They're all very offensive minded. Question is, can they continue to play enough defense to get the wins? But the philosophy is, Valley's a physical league. Guys are going to drop like flies. Cooper Neese has been hurt for them as an example. And they will win that war of attrition with their depth. And I think they have some bulldogs like Cam Henry that get to the lane and a lot of great shooting on the outside. I think it's a really interesting mix of players, and they play well together. I don't think they're going to lose at home for some reason. I think they got that early tough one out of the way with Drake. I think they're going to go perfect at home, but we'll see.
All right. The rest of their schedule at Dorman. Actually, let me ask you about that Drake team, because that's the team we all liked heading into the season. Important week ahead here at St. Louis, Mississippi State. Two huge non-conference games.
They need them both to get this train back on the tracks. I mean, I was one of the ones that were so high on this Drake team, everything they were bringing back. Not that St. Louis also to me has been disappointed, but Drake has got to get this win. And if nothing else, for the team morale and get back going right before conference play. Not underrating how important these next two games are for Drake, and a little sneaky under the radar team in the Missouri Valley. I like this, the Braves team. Sorry about
Bradley.
Thank you. Bradley, they have two interesting out of conference games before they get going in the conference. They have Arkansas and Akron.
Don't forget Stonehill. Come on.
True.
Come on.
I don't expect them to beat Arkansas, but let's see if they can stay in the game and then maybe knock off Akron. Two big games before they head to conference.
Yeah.
I like what Wardell's been doing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Upcoming schedule here in the conference, we see the end of the non-conference play, I believe, showing up on the screen here. We mentioned some of the key games already.
Yeah. Indiana State Duquesne. Yeah. We mentioned
that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yes, important. Yeah. Big game for Indiana State at a decent Duquesne team. A great Duquesne team by A-10 standards. A decent Duquesne team by anybody else's standards. Who are we up to here? How about Griggs? Why don't we go to you for one of our favorite conferences?
Oh, yes, our favorite. And I continue to petition this league. I call them 3-4 times a day. I spent 65 hours on hold last week trying to get this league to adopt a format to where they just don't play out of conference games and we just get a quadruple round robin of 32 games.
Well,
that would be the best.
I got to say that the thing that still surprises me, Rocco, I got to ask you about this. This Merrimack team, I know they're ineligible. They were everybody's preseason pick in this conference, and they still don't have a D1 win. Are they still going to win the conference, though?
who could say no, right? They haven't looked very competitive. Gallo's just done such a great job his first couple of years. He built a great reputation. I think a lot of people gave him the benefit of the doubt because they didn't know what to make of a bunch of these other teams either. So, you know, it just kind of shook out that way. I'm still really excited about what Fairleigh Dickinson's building. They've picked up 5 D1 wins. They won at the buzzer on a dunk against NJIT on Sunday. That was cool. Obviously, they're not competitive when they play the big teams yet, except Loyola Chicago. They took the OT on opening night. But I just like the fact that they brought in the D2 legend, Tobin Anderson, to run the program. And he brought three of his starters from D2, and they outplay a lot of teams at their level because they have that cohesion. I think that's going to be good for them when they get into an NEC tournament. I'm not saying they're going to win the NEC regular season, but I think they could be tough in the NEC tournament.
I did have another thought. You know, the membership down the nine, there is a team this year that's doing a lot better than what we have ever seen or expected. And the conference is a little bit down. Can Fordham get promoted into this league if they keep playing the way that they are?
I think Fordham could win this league. I'll just go out there on a limb with that. But
most years, I would not say that. I would not say that. Maybe
there's the upcoming schedule on the screen. We can pretty much forget about all these games on the schedule because these are not the ones that count. The ones that are going to count in a couple weeks when we get to conference play, and then the NEC becomes.
If you
so
have not downloaded the NEC Front Row app, do it now. Stop the show, as good as it's been, especially at the beginning, and download that app right now.
Stalika, Ohio Valley Conference time, and SAU Edwardsville did lose their game against Illinois State, but they still have been the story of this conference.
Well, they've been one of the stories of the conference right here. Tennessee State has been another one that's been piling up a couple wins here and there.
They haven't beat anybody of note, though, have they really?
No, it's Edwards.
Well, you get bragging rights within the city of Nashville for beating Lipscomb, at least.
Okay. I would say the only other story this week is the Southern Indiana win over Indiana State that we already mentioned. But, you know, it's just been – this is a conference that looks like it's on its way to Dayton at the moment.
Unless Edwardsville can blow through the league, they might get it. I could see them getting inside the first four. Edwardsville has looked kind of good.
Now, I will say this for Moorhead, though. This was the team who was expected to win. They may be finally – showing a pulse. They did get a comeback win against East Tennessee State over the weekend, and tonight they actually got a road win down at Georgia Southern, so yeah, at least they're game, not getting blown out anymore.
That game not in the standings, but that did go final since we started the show. Moorhead did win that game tonight.
I think that's their first road win. I'm not sure, though.
There's the rest of the upcoming games on the screen there, including Southern Indiana taking on IUPUI in a neutral court setting. I think that's actually in Indianapolis, but just not on their home court.
Well, play it at the playground.
let's just keep things rolling here. Yeah. Dorman, how about the Patriot League?
Surprised by American, actually. I did not think they would get off to a start like this. If you bring up their resume there. Nothing great as far as knocking off anything of note, but they're playing good basketball. They've racked up some wins, and we haven't heard from American in a while, the Patriot, but they're going to give Colgate a run. I like this Colgate team, but American's got a nice team, as good as they've been in a long time.
Yeah, Griggs, I mean, that might be the story. The only other team I'm kind of looking at here, though, with big win on Sunday. How about this Navy team went to Towson and picked up the road win?
That was probably one of the more surprising things of the week. We didn't talk about that when we talked about Towson. Like, I was more disappointed in Towson than I was impressed with Navy. But now that we're in the Patriot League, yeah, that was kind of impressive. And you start to look at them, 6-4 overall, all D1 wins. No one else in the league other than maybe Colgate with their win at Syracuse, who's I don't think as good as Towson, has a win like that. Can Navy make some noise in the conference?
Can Navy win the conference?
I still like Colgate and American, but it's kind of you have to at least throw Navy in there. You have to.
They could win in VCU next week. That's a winnable game for Navy.
Interesting game Wednesday, next Wednesday. Yeah. Navy at VCU, absolutely. That's one I'm going to be circling here. Rocco, how about the SoCon? You know, let's talk about some conferences with some pretty good teams, even though you know, maybe not up to par what it's been in recent years. But Chattanooga and Furman sitting there with looking pretty decent at the moment.
Yeah, I'm frustrated with Furman. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
The way they played yesterday was, I thought, inexcusable.
It's at NC State?
Yeah, I mean, it's their last big opportunity. If they get that win, maybe we can still start thinking about them as a two-bit option. They're clearly the most talented team with Slauson and Bothwell. And I still respect the heck out of Coach Ritchie. I think they'll get it figured out eventually. I just think it's frustrating because you get these 2 months to work with and any of their good tests. And, of course, the loss to High Point. I mean, credit to High Point, but that's a really bad loss from Furman's perspective. It's less of a slam dunk that they're going to win this league like we thought in the preseason. Chattanooga's won 5 in a row. Kudos to them. Greensboro with a great win over Marshall last night.
Yeah.
But so those are the two good stories. But I mean, Wofford's in all sorts of turmoil with their coaching situation, got surprisingly blown out by a terrible Georgia Southern team. Mercer and East Tennessee State are all over the place. And yeah, I think Samford will be good as well down the road. It's just SoCon's down overall. That little bit is frustrating.
I'm looking at what I'm seeing for Chattanooga. I know they haven't beat anybody I've known. Yeah. They've got a lot of non D1 wins, but the 5 in a row.
I'm with you.
And at Middle Tennessee, home against Belmont, at Georgia, coming up to end non-conference play. Other than the game at Georgia, not big names, but I think that those are – all three of them are winnable games. And if they win all three, you really got to pay attention to this team.
Agree.
Yeah. And, Jake Stevens is the best possible player, at least the biggest nightmare matchup wise in the league by a mile, with his inside outside game at 7 feet, 275. I mean, good luck. And they're finally, you know, Dan Earl getting there, getting comfortable, getting this rotation set. Look at their next three. It's going to be really telling. They're at Middle coming up tomorrow night. Yeah. Belmont on Sunday, Georgia next Wednesday. So let's see how they handle this three-game stretch. I think they're going to fare pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's the story to look at here. There's the rest of the upcoming schedule for this week. Let's, though, try to keep things moving right on along here. Griggs, let me go back to you. As we jump over to the Southland Conference, which normally is a conference that we don't spend too much time on this time of year, except this Northwestern State team, maybe they are worth a little bit of a discussion here.
Oh, I definitely think so. Go ahead and let's definitely pull them up. Okay. The net a little bit rough. We'll see everything here as soon as they appear. Okay, yeah. Now, the big win I think is the win at TCU. I think that that's going to turn into a tier one win.
That might be a 1A win by the end of the day for all.
Yeah, and they have the home win against Southern Miss, who when we get to the Sun Belt, we're going to talk about. But they've won on the road. They've won at SFA, who's going to win a lot of home games. Illinois State, at least formidable at home. I think this is a big week. Not so much the Baylor game. I think they're swinging way over their heads in that one. But between Rice and Texas A&M, if they can get one of those next three road games, just one.
Oh, I think they can win at Rice. I don't think that should.
Got to win at Rice.
Yeah, you think they got to win at Rice? I think they can win at Rice. But
I think they can win the A&M game.
Yeah. If they go two out of three and then blow through the Southland, which is not going to be hard for them to do, there is nobody in this league. Maybe New Orleans. No, not even them.
Nichols is good.
Nichols.
I know you like Nichols.
Nichols. Yeah. The other thing you got to remember with Nichols here also, they are now hosting the conference tournament starting this year.
Okay, Nichols.
Well, that's a pretty big deal.
That's a huge deal. It was Nichols was talking about moving to the WAC, and one of the ways the Southland got them to stay was to move the conference tournament for like the next 5 years to Lake George. So it's
it's not like Nichols is in the middle of New Orleans where it's like kind of neutral. They're in like a really remote location in Thibodaux, Louisiana. It's like that's a really big advantage.
Yeah, that win against San Diego was something, I guess.
Texas Tech, they had the lead most of the game.
They did. They have
five losses, Griggs, but it's Arizona, Irvine, Texas Tech, BYU, Wyoming, all on road or neutral. There's no shame in any of these losses.
They
got Mississippi State on the road too coming up here. And Baylor coming up on the road. They're going to have a great strength of schedule, quite honestly.
Yeah, they do. I'll give you that. And they're lifting way more weight now than what they'll have to when they start Southland play. But Northwestern State has looked like the kind of team that I think can blow through the league. And if they do, especially if they get Texas A&M and Rice, that's a tournament profile.
Okay. Well, there's the rest of the upcoming schedule in the Southland. I think, you know, let's keep a look at those two teams where I'm going to be looking at least this season. Corpus Christi.
Nichols should get the win against CeeLo.
Corpus Christi was in the tournament last year. They won the Southland Conference tournament last year, for the four seed, but they did get a bid also. Keep an eye on them. But let me go back to you and jump over to the SWAC.
Interesting start for a lot of these, for a lot of the SWAC members here. I like this Southern team coming into the year. I thought they had a chance to maybe take this conference. Still not over, obviously. They really had a tough schedule. And I say this often, but I love these schools, the under-the-radar schools that schedule tough because at-large bids aren't coming often, but you got to be ready for the conference play in March for your conference tournament. And playing those games just gets you ready. I don't know if we're going to see anyone sip.
Yeah, look at that. You've got three of the top six strength of schedules of the entire nation in this conference here. Yeah. One, two, and
great
six.
Great job. Yeah, I agree. So I think this conference is totally still up for grabs. I think it's going to be a big cluster. But watch for my team to watch for here, Southern. I really like the Jaguars.
All right. But Rocco, What about Grambling? They won at Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Grambling, I mean, with what Carter's doing, Carter Eric Gordon, he's been phenomenal. And I like, you know, what Cowart's done. Cotton and Christian are good players. Old team, too. A lot of seniors all across the Grambling team. So I have to pay more attention, I would say, to them. I thought the Colorado game might have just been a high-energy, great performance, but they backed it up now with the Vandy win. And
at Vatek, at Liberty, at Wisconsin, their next three. I mean, you're gonna chance to see this team.
Liberty's beatable.
Liberty, yeah. This is one of the better stories in college basketball. I don't know if they could drop all three of the next three, but they get in the league play, because this was a team that was just like centenary award winning. like one of the five worst programs in all of D1, and look at them now. This is just a great turnaround. So they're cool. Good. They're fun to watch.
Are they going to pull away from the conference, you think?
You don't think so? It just seems too preposterous that Grambling could. But I think they'll be in the race. They're at least in the debate.
Which
is impressive.
I agree, Dorman, that Southern's tough. I think also, even though Alcorn's 3-7, I love that team. They're finally got 8 days of rest. I think they could pull off a shocker on Sunday at Seattle U.
Would be a shocker. Yeah.
Yeah. I love their lineup. They've won. Speaking of shockers, they've won at the Shockers, and they've also won at Stephen F. Austin. So they've already got two, even though they're 3-7, they have two of those three are pretty powerful wins for this level. I think there's three or four pretty good teams. Texas Southern's always good too.
Yeah. I was going to say Texas Southern. You can never count them out. Never.
Never. So the SWAC's getting better, you know, slowly but surely, for sure.
I was going to say there's a huge game to circle here. This conference on Saturday, Florida A&M going to Louisville, but Louisville is going to be picking up their first win of the season tonight, if the current score holds, in blowout fashion of our pretty good Western Kentucky team. So
yeah, and they're going to totally torpedo Western Kentucky. They're up 18. I know that their program is storied and that the brand name is there, but the team is terrible, and this is just a really bad loss for Western Kentucky. Chad, we have to mention something else. Mississippi Valley State moving up in the world, getting votes in the top 25.
Congratulations to Mississippi Valley State. They did, I think I should have a cheer thing here. Cheering. There we go. Yes, they received votes in the AP poll. Maybe somebody that meant to vote for Mississippi State and hit the wrong button. We don't know for certain. I think Mississippi Valley State deserves that vote in the top 25 poll. You know, they do have a 1D1 win. Stalika.
Does Rocco need to jump off? We don't want to kick him off, but all right.
One more minute in me if we want to talk about the summit real quick.
Okay Rocco, yeah, sure. Rocco, right. Go ahead. Give us a little
something. I'll make that my final thought. All right. Sorry about the time crunch. St. Thomas, I actually like the St. Thomas team. I think Oral Roberts is clearly the team to beat. I think the biggest long-term challenge for Oral Roberts is the fact that the tournament is at the Pentagon. That's a disadvantage for them and a big advantage for the Dakota schools, as we see every year. But the thing I like about Oral Roberts a lot this year, you know, Max Asemus has gone from taking about 31% of the team's shots in the last 2 years in a row to now he's taking about 27%. Probably doesn't sound like a big difference, but that 4% decrease is just enough to get a little bit more guys involved. Kareem Thompson is one of the most efficient players in the country, and just doing a little bit of everything. And this team does not make mistakes. They're one of the highest rated teams in ball security, ball protection. They're starting to figure out a little bit more on defense. I think this team's pretty legit. They blew out Liberty. Again, Liberty's all over the map. But besides their big heavyweight chances with Houston and St. Mary's and Utah State, you know, they've handled everybody else with no problem. And I love the way they're playing.
Yeah, Missouri State to come, and then they go into conference play. So
right. You also got Denver up on the screen. I will say this for Denver. They lost by about 20 to UCLA, but played much better in that game than what Maryland is right now.
Denver's better than Maryland. There you go.
Yeah. Denver, well, as of tonight, at least. Yeah. I mean, you can't forget South Dakota State. Despite the loss they've had, I think this team – will make some noise before the end of the season as well.
Yeah.
But is the upcoming schedule? Any other games here? Sleek, I was going to ask you about the conference. So we actually get into conference play. Rocco, thanks for joining us. Sleeka, we just mentioned South Dakota State at Oral Roberts start conference play Monday is probably a game worth circling here.
Well, probably the only game that's going to be worth circling here, unless you're looking for South Dakota State to finally get a win tonight against Bellevue. Granted, that's non-D1.
I think they are. Let's see. As we record this, they are. I don't know what they're doing against Bellevue tonight. Maybe they won final already.
Presumably beating them.
We'll try to figure that out. I can't seem to find that thing.
Rocco, come back.
We're not doing very good. That game might have been canceled. It's not showing up my scoreboard at all right now. I don't know what's going on.
We're
going to
edit the show to where we're only going to show the part where Rocco was on it.
Denver up 5 on Colorado Christian's record this. But let's jump off. I forgot what's going on with that Bellevue South Dakota State game. Why don't I have a score in that? But Griggs, how about the Sun Belt while we, while we get to work on that?
Well, there's two teams that I really like in this league. One is Southern Miss. They're only lost to that Northwestern State team, and they have some pretty decent wins. Can we pull up their profile real quick? We'll pull them up, and go ahead and pull up Marshall as well. Marshall won 9 in a row before their loss the other night, but both teams looking really good on the court. There's Southern Miss there on the right. They have the win at Liberty, a decent win at Vanderbilt, making quite a bit of noise, just the one loss at Northwestern State. Marshall, a lot of Tier 3 and Tier 4 wins, but Akron at Duquesne, I think that was a pretty good win against the Duquesne team that's playing pretty well. Their only losses to Queens and Greensboro. James Madison is another team that I really like in this league. I think it's a three-horse race. The one problem is you just don't get many strikes, and I think James Madison may be out of them, minus blowing through the rest of their schedule. But I think all three of these teams can make quite a bit of noise if one of those three gets to the round of 64.
Just to go back very quickly on South Dakota State, the game against Bellevue tonight was postponed due to the weather conditions that are going on with this winter storm that's coming across the country here. So no Bellevue, South Dakota State tonight. That's why.
Can I jump in on one point there?
Yeah, absolutely. Please jump in. Yes.
Griggs was discussing Southern Miss, a great under the radar game next week. Southern Miss is going to UNLV. I believe it's next Thursday. That is going to be a fantastic game. I'm really excited for it. It'll two really good teams playing good basketball.
I've actually got to ask another question here, though. Stalika, did he forget somebody when he said this was a three-horse race of this conference?
Well, if we're talking about Southern Miss, Marshall, and Louisiana, I think you also have to mention James Madison here.
He mentioned James Madison. Louisiana is a team that he missed. And I don't think you can count the Raging Cajuns at all.
You cannot. Go ahead, Stalika. The only reason is because I wanted Stalika to get a little FaceTime here.
No, I'm saving my FaceTime for when we're talking about App State blowing a game against Wake Forest later on.
Later on. We're on their conference, Stalika. You want a minute on App State, Wake Forest? Go for it right now.
Oh, this was a game where App State actually had a lead with about 2 seconds to go. And
they had the lead in the ball with 2 seconds to go.
And they lost. Failed to inbound the ball. Wake gets a game winner with 1.3 seconds left. And what could have been a hot, hot, hot upset never materialized.
They inbounded the ball. They inbounded it off of their own player's hand and out of bounds and gave Wake a shot with 1 second left for the win. So, it was here's the rest of the upcoming schedule. It's on the screen. We've got one more full conference to go. Dorman, we have the Western Athletic Conference, and there's a lot to unpack here, I think, at this point. Not only New Mexico State, who's always the power here, but Sam Houston continuing to pick up wins, a win at Louisiana Monroe tonight.
I love the way the Sam Houston team plays. I love the intense defense they put, the pressure on the ball, and they guard you all over the court. Really a fantastic job by Sam Houston State. If I had to pick someone, I'd be picking them. But there's good teams all over this conference, as you can see by some of these metric numbers. Grand Canyon, really good. Cal Baptist, surprising to me. Seattle doing one of the best jobs they've done in years. This is really going to be a fun, exciting conference.
And I like the Seattle team. I know Rocco just picked them to be upset here in their game coming up against Alcorn State.
Liked this team for
they're at Oregon here. State first tomorrow night. But Greece, go ahead on.
Well, yeah, Seattle. I mean they were. I do you remember when I was writing the preseason previews? I'm like, why in the? I almost was looking at it. They were picked fifth, and I couldn't figure out why. This is a great Seattle team.
And they're in the Diamond Head also. They're going to start with Utah State, a great game. They could have Iona if they can get by Utah State. So it's a real interesting half of the bracket there with Iona, SMU, Seattle, Utah State at the Diamond
Head. Yeah, it really is.
The other half of the brackets is George Washington, Washington State, Pepperdine, and Hawaii. So I don't know who set up these brackets, but they really messed that up, I think.
Yeah, really messed it up. Getting back to this, Sam Houston State adjusted defensive efficiency 38. Does that seem low? I mean, you watch Sam Houston State play, and the one thing about them is that you can't score on them.
Oh, that
even
is
in their losses, they've looked
that's
great. Their defense is phenomenal.
Yeah. I would think 38 is low for them. But I don't know. It's adjusted.
It's adjusted, and it's, you know, but this is by far the best in this conference. So, hey.
Yeah.
As we record this, New Mexico State is at St. Mary's. They're down 9 points fairly early in the game. I think that may be shooting over their heads right now, especially with everything else going around that program with the shooting and all that. So,
yeah, and we'll leave it at that.
Two more teams to discuss. Talika, you wanted to jump in about them at the start of the show. Cut Griggs off. Everybody missed his comment about top 25 teams. So it's all you, Chicago State and Hartford.
Chicago State was the real surprise last night. Granted, it's going to show as a one-point loss against Murray State, but Chicago State was really in uncharted territory early in their game where they got up to a 30-8 lead against Murray State in the first 12 minutes of the first half. Even as late as the 13-minute mark in the second half, they were still up 18 before Murray State finally started chipping away and ended up getting the go-ahead bucket with 18 seconds left. That was Murray State's only lead in the game, but unfortunately that's going to be the result that counts for the Cougars right here. But another improved team here.
Look at this. Both independents were 3 points away from being undefeated this week. They each lost three games there. They're all 1 point losses for these two teams. So
against D1 week. Competition. Yeah.
A tough week for our two little independents here at the bottom of the standings. Up ahead this week, Chicago State at Southern Illinois and Illinois State. Hartford with a home game against SFBK.
All right. One of their few remaining home games.
Let's jump to some of our how about some of our mythical conferences?
Yeah.
Front Range, Colorado and Northern Colorado in a tie at the moment on top of the standings. That should be changing this week, though, because I believe that they will be facing each other on Sunday in a huge first place showdown.
Yeah. Wyoming going to Dayton. Not too many conference
games. How about Colorado Christian at Denver? I don't know.
We've counted that before.
We've also got the Air Force Northern Colorado on Tuesday. Air Force getting their first conference game in here.
Yeah.
If we go front range, we've got to go after that. Of course, we've got to go to the back range. It's our newest conference here. Arizona State still leading the way at 1-0. A few teams have not even gotten any games in yet. I don't know what we've got coming up this week. Do we have any conference games?
I don't think so. I normally check.
No, I don't think we have any conference games this week.
We
got one other mythical conference. We got the Beehive Conference.
Yeah. We had some excitement in that one.
Let's see if we can get it on the screen. There it is. Beehive Conference. It's going to be a big Beehive week here. We'll get to it in a minute. But right now, Utah State with the lead at 1-0.
Yeah, probably the best team in the league. And we have confirmed, Chad, while this is a mythical conference, the NCAA did say that the auto bid winner, the first place team, would get an auto bid so long as they won their conference tournament.
Yes, that is confirmed.
Yes, we have. Yeah,
we have the big game of the Beehive series coming up, though, on Saturday, Utah BYU.
Yeah. that one's going to be a war. BYU, a team I was kind of, that's over the radar. We've talked about that already.
Don't forget, the winner gets one of these.
the one of these. And
I just like this notion that there are multiple old ochre buckets in existence.
Well, we got the big turd too.
We also, we do. There we go. Yeah.
This show gets that award tonight. The first 5 minutes of our show tonight.
We also have Monday night Weber State at Utah State. So another big gut. We got two Beehive Conference games this week. Let's go to our Hoops HD Under the Radar top 10 lists. We got a ton of honorable mentions this week. We got ties all over the place, all over the place here. Let's start with our honorable mentions. Teams that did not make the top 10 include Indiana State, Marshall, UNC Wilmington, Louisiana, Drake, Seattle, North Texas, and Grambling. Yes, Grambling showing up on the top 10 list.
Getting a vote. Wow.
Getting a vote from somebody. Let's go. 10th place, we added a tie, so we ended up with 11 ranked teams this week. Western Kentucky and Towson. I am going to, by executive order, throw Western Kentucky completely off this list right now. So congrats to Towson, you're number 10. Western Kentucky still down almost 20 points at Louisville in the upset of the century tonight.
Right, yeah.
9th place, UC Irvine coming in at 9th.
The Eaters.
Yeah, I love
Northwestern State out of the Southland Conference at number 8. How about that for the Demons?
Yeah, arguably could be higher. Okay.
7th place, UAB.
All right, like the Blazers. Talented team.
Yeah, Ona Gale's coming at number 6, Rick Pitino.
Yeah, they get this one at New Mexico. That is not just under the radar good, that's national good.
We really like the Southern Miss team here. They're coming at number 5. And a two-way tie for 3rd between Sam Houston and Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic, way up there. All right, wow.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Number 2, it's Kent State.
Kent State.
We like this team a lot. I don't think there's any surprise. Only one person did not vote our number one team as number one. That was you, Grace. But here it is. The College of Charleston Cougars, deservedly number one. Anyone that did not vote the number one is also off of the show.
Okay.
Let's go to final thoughts, Dorman. Please, we got to get this show over.
Yeah.
I know I throw around great games, excited. This is going to be awesome a lot. Because I love our game of college basketball so much. But I cannot overrate what Saturday is going to be. The schedule is absolutely loaded. Awesome. For 12 hours, put yourself in front of the TV. Get 2 or 3 TVs. Get your iPads out. Get your computers out. You can't have too many screens. I'm not even going to list the games. If you sit down and watch them, you'll have an unbelievable day. The schedule is great. And this will be one of the greatest days you'll see until conference tournament. It's going to be really fun on Saturday.
So then I don't have to go to my wife's office Christmas party on Saturday.
Correct. Correct.
Tell her. Thank you. I will let her know. All right. I'm out. Sleeka.
We did tease upon it earlier in the past couple conferences, but we still have two more tournaments to go. Granted, one of them is not exempt, and that's going to be the Sun Bowl tournament, where we'll be featuring UTEP, New Mexico State, and also Kent State. But the Diamond Head Classic, which the Puppet seems to love for some reason, I mean, we'll probably be featuring Seattle. We'll be seeing what the Red Hawks of Seattle will be able to do. I mean, they're a lot better than Red Hawks than what I saw take on against Cincinnati tonight, but that'll be another story for another day.
Those Red Hawks, not as quite as good. Of Miami, of Ohio. Greg, do you want to finish us up?
I just wanted to point out, as hard as this is to believe, because it's still early in the season, it's not early in the season. The season is a third over. It goes so fast.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And even better than the season being a third over, the fact that this podcast is mostly completely over. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We are definitely going to do much better next time. But on behalf of David Griggs, David Dorman, John Sleeka, Rocco Miller, who was the only person that did good in this show, check him out at brockdude.org. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.